ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Chapter 10, Text 9. Machita madgata prana, bodhayantah parasparam, katayantaschamang nityam, Tushyanti charamanti cha. Bring the other volumes of this. Machita madgata prana. Bring the other volumes. There are more volumes than two. Only two? Bodhayanta parasparam. Katayantas chamang nityam. Tushyanti charamanti cha. Machita, machita madgata prana,
machita madgata prana,
bodhayantas parasparam,
bodhayantas parasparam,
katayantas chamang nityam,
katayantas chamang nityam,
tushyanti charamanti cha,
tushyanti charamanti cha.
Verse translation. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me, their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. Purport. Pure devotees, whose characteristics are mentioned here, engage themselves fully in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Their minds cannot be diverted from the lotus feet of Krishna. Their talks are solely on the transcendental subjects. The symptoms of the pure devotees are described in this verse specifically. Devotees of the Supreme Lord are 24 hours daily engaged in glorifying the qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Their hearts and souls are constantly submerged in Krishna, and they take pleasure in discussing Him with other devotees. In the preliminary stage of devotional service, they relish the transcendental pleasure from the service itself, and in the mature stage, they are actually situated in love of God. Once situated in that transcendental position, they can relish the highest perfection which is exhibited by the Lord in His abode. Lord Chaitanya likens transcendental devotional service to the sowing of a seed in the heart of the living entity. There are innumerable living entities traveling throughout the different planets of the universe, and out of them there are a few who are fortunate enough to meet a pure devotee and get the chance to understand devotional service. This devotional service is just like a seed, and if it is sown in the heart of a living entity, and if he goes on hearing and chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, that seed fructifies, just as the seed of a tree fructifies with regular watering. The spiritual plant of devotional service gradually grows and grows until it penetrates the covering of the material universe and enters into the Brahma Jyoti effulgence in the spiritual sky. In the spiritual sky also, that plant grows more and more until it reaches the highest planet, which is called Goloka Vrindavan, the supreme planet of Krishna. Ultimately, the plant takes shelter under the lotus feet of Krishna and rests there. Gradually, as a plant grows fruits and flowers, that plant of devotional service also produces fruits, and the watering process in the form of chanting and hearing goes on. The plant of devotional service is fully described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 19. It is explained there that when the complete plant takes shelter under the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, one becomes fully absorbed in love of God. Then he cannot live even for a moment without being in contact with the Supreme Lord, just as a fish cannot live without water. In such a state, the devotee actually attains the transcendental qualities in contact with the Supreme Lord. The Srimad Bhagavatam is also full of such narrations about the relationship between the Supreme Lord and his devotees. Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam is very dear to the devotees, as stated in the Bhagavatam itself. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. In this narration, there is nothing about material activities, economic development, sense gratification, or liberation. Srimad Bhagavatam is the only narration in which the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord and his devotees is fully described. Thus, the realized souls in Krishna consciousness take continual pleasure in hearing such transcendental literatures, just as a young boy and girl take pleasure in association. Machita madgata prana bodhayantaf parasparam kathayantaschamang nityang tushanti charamanticha. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. Everyone, please turn off their cell phone if you have not already done so. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada states in this purport that the Srimad Bhagavatam is also full of such narrations about the relationship between the Supreme Lord and his devotees. And indeed, there is a very similar verse to this verse of Bhagavad Gita, which appears in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto, chapter 3, text 30, Parasparanu Katanam. You know it? No. So you can see this, immediately you can see, Machita Madgata Prana Bodhayanta Parasparam, the same word Paraspara comes up. It means mutually among each other. And Bodhayanta, Srila Prabhupada here translates this as preaching. And in the word-for-word translation, and then katayantascha mam nityam. So bodhayanta, enlightening one another. It literally means to enlighten. A similar word to buddhi, intelligence. It means to awaken the intelligence. So this verse, aparasparanu katanam pavanam bhagavadyashaha mitoratir mitas tushtir nivrittir mita Atmanaha. Translation given here. One should learn how to associate with devotees of the Lord by gathering with them to chant the glories of the Lord, which we're doing here now. This process is most purifying. As devotees thus develop their loving friendship, they feel mutual happiness and satisfaction. And by thus encouraging one another, they are able to give up material sense gratification, which is the cause of all suffering. I'll read the verse before this and after this also, which helped to put this in some more. By reading this, it helps to put it in some more context. And the purports are also well worth reading, and for that matter the whole Srimad Bhagavatam is, but we have to select some portion, otherwise considering time, place and circumstance, we don't have the time right now to go through the whole Srimad Bhagavatam non-stop. So the verse prior to this is Evam Krishnatmanateshu Manushyeshu cha sohridam paricharyang chobhayatra Mahatsu Nrishu Sadhushu. Yeah, better to take this off your leg. Well, yeah, don't put it at Prabhupada's feet either. Yeah, you can put it on the side, put it on the book table. Krishnatmanas means someone who has made Krishna the Lord of their very being. So one who desires his ultimate self-interest should cultivate friendship with those persons who have accepted Krishna as the Lord of their life. One should further develop an attitude of service toward all living beings. One should especially try to help those in the human form of life, and among them especially those who accept the principles of religious behavior. Among religious persons, one should especially render service to the pure devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The purport given here by disciples of Srila Prabhupada follows the purport of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who said that the highest duty for devotees of the Supreme Lord is to establish friendship with those who have completely surrendered to Krishna and who have thus achieved Sharanagati, shelter at the Lord's lotus feet. One should render service to both the Lord and his devotees, since the Lord is more pleased by sincere service rendered to his pure devotees. One should not only officially offer respect to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his devotees and his worshipable paraphernalia, but should actually render service to the representatives of the Lord, who are known as Mahabhagavatas. Then this verse again, Parasparanu Katanam Pavanam Bhagavadyashaha Mitoratir Mitas Tushtir Nivrittir Mita Atmanaha. One should learn how to associate with the devotees of the Lord by gathering with them to chant the glories of the Lord. This process is most purifying. As devotees thus develop their loving friendship, they feel mutual happiness and satisfaction. And by thus encouraging one another, they are able to give up material sense gratification, which is the cause of all suffering. Purport. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, those who are advanced in Krishna consciousness should not envy one another or quarrel among themselves. Giving up all such mundane feelings, they should gather together and chant the glories of the Supreme Lord for mutual purification. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has pointed out that glorification of the Supreme Lord is especially potent when performed in the association of pure devotees. Can anyone think of any verse which, or part of a verse which substantiates that? Well-known verse among the followers of Srila Prabhupada, because he often quoted it. Anyone? 3, 2, 1, 0. Satang prasangan. You see, now I said it, now you know. That means you only learned it, but you didn't think about it. Satang prasangan mama virya sangvido bhavanti hrid karna rasayana kataha. Glorification of my virya, my prowess, is very pleasing in the association of devotees. It is it is like a tonic for the ears and the heart. Continuing Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's comment. When devotees engage in Sankirtan, chanting the glories of the Lord together, they experience the highest transcendental bliss and satisfaction. Thus they encourage one another to give up material sense gratification, which is based on illicit sexual connections with women. One devotee will say to another, "Oh, you have given up sense gratification. Starting today, I shall also give it up." One should learn to increase one's love for the devotees, to satisfy them and to give up sense objects unfavorable to serving Krishna. And one should learn to view the entire universe as paraphernalia for the Lord's service. This must be Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's commentary. This is typical Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. By engaging the objects, this point he makes again and again and again in various ways in his commentaries. By engaging the objects of the senses in Krishna's service, one automatically becomes detached from them. And as one passes one's days in the association of the Lord's devotees, one's transcendental ecstasy increases more and more through discussions about the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, one who wants to be free from the harassment of Maya in the form of sense gratification must constantly associate with pure devotees of the Lord who have no engagement other than chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord and carrying out his mission on earth. Srila Madhva Acharya has pointed out that just as one should cultivate friendship with devotees, one must cultivate a spirit of friendship toward the demigods who manage the universe on the Lord's behalf. Thus one should live peacefully within this world. And that's typical Madhva Acharya also. Then the next verse after this. Smaranta smarayantascha mitoghauga harang harim bhaktya sanjataya bhaktya bibhratyutpulakang tanum. Another important, when you've learned all your important Bhagavad Gita verses, then you can start to get into the Bhagavatam also. So the important words here, smaranta smarayantascha. Devotees remember the Lord and they help others to remember. And also bhaktya sanjataya bhaktya. Bhakti arises from bhakti, which is an immensely important point which our acharyas have deliberated upon in some detail. Janma koti sukritayana labhyate, for instance, and that this Krishna bhakti rasa bhavitamati hi, Krishna consciousness, in short, or to that one's consciousness is overwhelmed by feelings, tasteful feelings for Krishna. Kriyatam yadi kuto pilabhyate tatra lolyam api mulyam ekalam janma koti sukritaya nalabhyate. So that if at all it is on sale, if you can find it's on sale, of course Krishna bhakti is not on sale, it is an analogy. Then one should buy it by any means possible. But what will we buy it with? Only intense desire, not by even by millions of lifetimes of pious, mundane pious activities, one cannot attain it. Anyway, the translation of this verse, the devotees of the Lord constantly discuss the glories of the personality of Godhead among themselves. Thus they constantly remember the Lord and remind one another of his qualities and pastimes. In this way, by their devotion to the principles of bhakti yoga, the devotees please the personality of Godhead, who takes away from them everything inauspicious. Being purified of all impediments, the devotees awaken to pure love of Godhead, and thus, even within this world, their spiritualized bodies exhibit symptoms of transcendental ecstasy, such as the standing of the bodily hairs on end. Purport. I have to sit like this. Stiff neck. The word aghaugaharam is very significant in this verse. Agha refers to that which is inauspicious or sinful. Can think of any example of this from Srimad Bhagavatam? Aghasura. Yeah, his name was Agha. So you can imagine, you can say to someone, oh, your name is Agha, just like Papa. So you say to someone, oh, Papa, that's his name. Demons like such names. The living entity is, the word agha refers to that which is inauspicious or sinful. The living entity is actually Sachidananda Vigraha, or eternal and full of bliss and knowledge, but by neglecting his eternal relationship with Krishna, the personality of Godhead, he commits sinful activities and undergoes the inauspicious result in the form of material suffering. The chain of sinful reactions is called agha, or a relentless wave of suffering. Krishna is aghauga harang harim. He takes away the sinful reactions of his devotees, who are thus entitled to experience the inconceivable bliss of the kingdom of God even while remaining in this world. The words bhaktya sanjataya bhaktya indicate that there are two divisions of bhakti yoga, sadhana bhakti and raga anuga bhakti. Srila Prabhupada has elaborately explained in his book The Nectar of Devotion the progress of the devotee from sadhana bhakti, or the execution of regulated principles, to raga anuga bhakti, or service executed in love of Godhead. According to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, a liberated soul is always enthusiastic due to the appearance of transcendental ecstasy within his body. Thus, he always aspires to remain overwhelmed in chanting the glories of the personality of Godhead, Hari. So there are some verses which are relevant to the topic. Machita madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam. Katayantas jamang nityang tushyanti cha ramanti cha. The devotees, the thoughts of my pure devotees always dwell in me. Their lives are dedicated to my service. They derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. As Srila Prabhupada states in the purport, the whole Srimad Bhagavatam can be a purport to this verse. Because the subject matter of Krishna is elaborately described therein. Yeah, Krishna is also subject matter. You may think that's rather strange that Krishna becomes the subject of our discussion. The Mayavadis, they will say that the topic of Brahman, it cannot be the subject of our meditation because Brahman is beyond us. But Krishna agrees to make himself available, not only agrees to make himself available, but becomes, gives himself fully, his name, his form, his qualities, his pastimes, so that the devotees have so much to discuss about Krishna and remember about Krishna, whereas the Mayavadis, there's nothing to talk about. Aham Brahmasmi, Brahmasmi Aham, and that's, you can't strike up much of a conversation with a Mayavadi, because, or Soham, just, there's nothing to say, there's nothing to talk about. It is just commonly someone may say to you, how is everything? But for them, everything is just one. So their answer is one. How is everything? One. What is that? Ekam Advatiya. There's only one and no second. Or if you ask the Buddhists, they'll say, how is everything? And they'll say, nothing. Nothing to talk about. But Krishna, he's all in all. And he's the subject of all discussion, meditation, all qualities are in him. And in fact, in the transcendental rasa vichar, or deliberation on transcendental rasa of Rupa Goswami, Krishna is the subject, the vishay of prema, and the devotees are the ashray. So Krishna, he is the person to be remembered and discussed, and devotees are the ashray means that the prema is in them. They're the shelter of prema, so to speak. So Krishna is the subject of devotees, and Srimad Bhagavatam gives so much topics to discuss, discuss about Krishna, to discuss about devotional service. This is all very purifying. That's stated here, pavanam. Pavanam bhagavadyashaha. The glories of Bhagavan, they are very purifying when we discuss. So Srila Prabhupada made this system that at least we should daily gather to discuss the glories of the Lord in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, discussion of Srimad Bhagavatam. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elsewhere states that when devotees meet, they try to extract from each other, what are your realizations? What are your realizations nowadays in devotional service? Hare Krishna. What are you thinking of? What is prominent in your mind in relationship to Krishna? Of course, among pure devotees, their thoughts are all in relationship to Krishna. Machitaha, that is the first word of this verse. Their mind is absorbed in me. Their mind is me. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Anya hriday man mor man vrindavan. For other people, their mind, they're wandering on the manorata, the chariot of their mind. They go on a magical mystery tour all around this universe. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, my mind is Vrindavan. So the pure devotees, their thoughts are absorbed in Krishna. And when they meet each other, they like to discuss such subjects. Otherwise, among materialistic people, they may discuss so many materialistic things. We find that Srila Prabhupada, he was always talking about Krishna, specifically apt to his preaching mission. He mostly spoke the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, and therefore there are hundreds of hours of, apart from his lectures which are recorded, there are hundreds of hours of his conversations recorded, because Srila Prabhupada had the habit of speaking about Krishna and preaching on the basis of Bhagavad Gita philosophy as applied to the world today. Of course, applied to the world today, it's the same as yesterday or 5,000 years ago. It's still the same old thing. Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi Dukkha. The miseries of birth, death, old age and disease. But Dukkha Anudarshanam, the acharyas, they help us to see this. Otherwise we may not see it. We see all around us birth, death, old age and disease, but we don't recognize that this is a suffering condition and that we should try to come out of this. So the acharyas, they help us to see that, and certainly Srila Prabhupada did this in the most ideal and exemplary manner by helping others to understand our dire situation. So if someone asks about our realizations, well, it'd be nice if we had some realizations. Otherwise, if we're always thinking about mundane topics, we might not like to say what is in our mind. But we should cultivate thinking of Krishna. Devotees don't very much like to talk about themselves and their inner realizations. They may do so with some very close associates, but it's not that you won't find Srila Prabhupada going up on a stage and talking to 2,000 people that last night I was dancing with the gopis. No such thing. No such thing. In fact, when Srila Prabhupada would sometimes, the ecstasy of his love for Krishna would burst out and overwhelm him, Srila Prabhupada would control that. He wouldn't show that. There are many instances, not many, some instances, where Srila Prabhupada would sometimes become stunned. In one lecture he gave in Mayapur before many of his disciples gathered from different parts of the world, Srila Prabhupada was talking animatedly about how you should fully endeavor to become fully Krishna conscious in this life. Srila Prabhupada said, "You're all young men, you have the opportunity. I am an old man, I have no such opportunity." And then Srila Prabhupada, in stunned in ecstasy of his own humility, that I have no, thinking to himself, "I have no opportunity to become Krishna conscious," he became stunned in ecstasy. And then the devotees were all sitting there, they didn't know what to do, because suddenly the Prabhupada wasn't speaking anymore. And they were all just sitting there. They didn't know what to do. So eventually one of the devotees started to chant kirtan, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then Srila Prabhupada, he came to external consciousness, and then he left, and already the class had been going on about half an hour. He left and left the temple as he normally would at the end of the class. Later in the day, another of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, what happened then among the devotees, there was some controversy, because Hansa Dutta, who had begun the kirtan, some other devotees, they said, "You shouldn't have done that. Prabhupada was in ecstasy. You should have let him remain in that ecstasy." So there's some dispute, and then Brahmananda asked Prabhupada later in the day, he said to Srila Prabhupada, "Srila Prabhupada, what should the disciples do if the spiritual master becomes absorbed in ecstasy?" And Srila Prabhupada's reply was almost apologetically, "I don't often do that." He wasn't an exhibitionist. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada often quoted, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also often quoted, from Prem Bhakti Chandrika of Narottam Das Thakur, "Apana bhajana kata na kahibo jota tata ehate hoibo shavadhan na kari ha ke horosh na loi ho ke ho dosh pranamahu bhakti achon." Actually the first two lines of this, they're important. He says that my discussion of my own bhajan, I won't just say it here and there. I'll be very cautious in this regard. So this means that one doesn't come on Ekadashi, one doesn't stand up and make a big announcement saying, "Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like you to know that I'm fasting without water and chanting 3 times 64 rounds today. Just thought I'd let you know what a great devotee I am." One doesn't advertise like that. Austerity, if you want to do, that's for yourself. Austerity is for one. If you do, you may not do. If you have some service to do, which requires to take some prasadam, you may not do that. Service comes first. So, also, if one feels some ecstasy, some Krishna gives some revelation, don't display that. Srila Prabhupada said that my purports are my transcendental ecstasies. My personal ecstasies, he said, my personal ecstasies. So Srila Prabhupada's realizations, he shared them with the whole world, at least those who want to share in that, in the form of his Bhaktivedanta purports, in which he explained the whole science of Krishna consciousness. So Narottam Das says, "Apana bhajana kata na kahibo jota tota ehate hoibo shavadan." I should be very careful in the matter of not broadcasting my devotional matters. Interestingly, this comes at the end of Prema Bhakti Chandrika, in which is an instructional poem, quite a long poem, which is written largely in the first person. First person, pratam vachanam, means saying I. First person is I, second person is you, third person is he or they, like that. First person singular. Although first person singular, yeah. So he writes in this way. For instance, he writes, Napujyabo Devi Deva, A Bhakti Paramakaran. He said, I will not worship different demigods. This is the main cause of how we can become Krishna conscious. So he writes it in the first person, so it seems that he is divulging a lot about his own bhajan. And actually, in his other famous work, Prarthana, he does speak a lot about his devotional aspirations. Kabe Lokanath More Shange Loya Jabe Shirupa Pada Patne More Shamarpide. He, for instance, there's only one, and there's so many things he writes. When this is the introductory, that when will Lokanath, his guru, take me with him and offer me at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa, which in this context is understood to mean Sri Rupa Manjari. And he describes so many things, his aspiration to be born as a female in Vrindavan. Sometimes he writes about his aspiration to be an anklet, a ringing anklet, bells on the anklet of a gopi. So many things he writes. But na kohibo jata tota is not meant for everyone. These things we don't discuss. Srila Prabhupada never discussed such things very publicly with everyone. Although actually I just heard a lecture, Srila Prabhupada, public lecture he gave in Hyderabad, in which just giving some idea of what we might call higher topics to the persons assembled there. But in general we should be, if we are so fortunate to be blessed with insights from Krishna, which everyone who does take to Krishna consciousness seriously, they will be blessed with some realization. That is for sure. Even to stay on the path of Krishna consciousness, that in itself means there's some realization. If someone asks, what is your realization? You may say, well, at least I've been chanting Hare Krishna for so many years. I didn't flop into meat-eating, gambling, illicit sex, intoxication, watching TV, eating kami food, watching cricket, and so on. I didn't flop into materialistic life. I'm still going on. So that means that Krishna's giving some mercy, at the very least, the mercy to remain in Krishna consciousness. But as suggested in these verses from Bhagavatam, gradually we are to go on more and more and more. Then I just read three verses from Bhagavatam. One more verse after this I'll read. I'll just read the Sanskrit and the translation. The condition of the pure devotees of Krishna. There are similar verses also describing this. There's a similar verse as Ishvara Puri taught to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which he said is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam, Evang Sapriyanama Kirtya. But this is a similar verse. Kvachid Rudantyachuta Chintaya Kvachid Dasanti Nandanti Vadantya Lokikaha Nrityanti Gayantyanushila Yantyajang Bhavanti Tushnim Parametya Nirvritaha. Having achieved the love of God, having come to that platform, the devotees sometimes cry out loudly, absorbed in thoughts of the infallible Lord. Sometimes they laugh, feel great pleasure, speak out loud to the Lord, dance or sing. Such devotees, having transcended material conditional life, sometimes imitate the unborn Supreme by acting out his pastimes, and sometimes achieving his personal audience, they remain peaceful and silent. So devotees may exhibit such pastimes, but not for the public. Maybe having actually come to that stage, they don't imitate. Let me backtrack a little bit here. This apana bhajanga kota na kohibo jota tota. I shall not advertise my devotional achievements. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to quote this a lot, because he was preaching primarily in a Bengal where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's cult had been overtaken by Prakrita Sahajiyas, who made a big show of being devotional. But there was not any, in many cases or most cases, nothing substantial to back it up. The show of being advanced may be laughing, crying, rolling on the floor, but there are other considerations. Also, as stated here, also in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, Bhakti Parishanu Bhava Viraktyaran Yatra Chaisa. Bhakti means an experience of the Lord, but that is also accompanied by detachment from everything else. It's not that one shows great ecstasy while chanting, and then when the chanting's over, smokes a bidi, as I have seen on several occasions in my time that I was in Bangladesh in the 1979 and 1980s, how the Vaishnav culture, that's just one example of exhibitionism, not backed by actual detachment from this world. So the pure devotees, they may have such symptoms. Sometimes that has been described in relationship with our acharyas, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in this book, Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava. I dedicated one chapter to discussing his internal form and eternal ecstasy. I generally kept that very guarded. Srila Prabhupada, maybe in the early days of the movement, exhibited that more. Seems that he became more cautious later on. It's very touchy even to discuss such characteristics of such great pure devotees, considering our own position as very neophyte devotees. But we can only begin to wonder about their transcendental ecstasies. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it is described by Bhakti Pradeep Tirtha Maharaj, that in Godrum he would sometimes assemble at Swananda Sukhada Kunja, his second house he made there. He would assemble there with Saraswati, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and with Gaurkishore Das Babaji. Can you imagine the three great acharyas, and Jagadish Bhakti Pradeep, who later became Bhakti Pradeep Tirtha Maharaj, and maybe a few others would be there. And they had a daily program. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very strict, no prajalpa, no worldly talk allowed. And in the afternoon they would assemble, and Siddhanta Saraswati would read Chaitanya Charitamrita, the verses, and from time to time Bhaktivinoda Thakur would interject some commentary. And sometimes Bhaktivinoda Thakur, on hearing Chaitanya Charitamrita, would stand up and start dancing in ecstasy, gyrating in ecstasy. Not exactly, he'd move his body, and his body, which appeared to be quite old at this time, but he would dance in ecstasy. So this pure devotees, among themselves, they relished. Many times, Srila Prabhupada, he let his ecstasy flow while dancing in kirtan. There are many instances, famous photos are there of Srila Prabhupada dancing in ecstasy with the kirtan just after installing Radha Gokulananda just outside London, and Prabhupada offered the arati and the kirtan was going on. Then Srila Prabhupada led the chain. At that time there was just a chain separating the deity worship area from the main temple room, and that was let down, and Srila Prabhupada led the devotees in. All the devotees came on the altar, circumambulated the altar, and then the kirtan went, and Srila Prabhupada, you can see his face is looking up, his arms are up, looking toward Radha Gokulananda, and the kirtan was, that's also filmed, that how that kirtan was, a few snippets of that filmed, how Srila Prabhupada was dancing in ecstasy. Also very famous in London in the same year, I believe, at Rath Yatra, Srila Prabhupada had arrived, he just arrived the same day, I believe it was, from Bombay. He was sick, and the devotees had made a seat for him to sit on the cart, but instead he danced all the way in full ecstasy, completely unexpected. and the waves of ecstasy were over. There are many instances, actually, that Srila Prabhupada in kirtan at the Bhagavat, what was that called? The Bhagavat discourses, which Srila Prabhupada organized in New Vrindavan, I'm not sure which year, 72 maybe. And devotees came from all over America, and one time there's a recording of this kirtan where Srila Prabhupada had Vishnujan Swami lead the kirtan, and then his kirtans were always ecstatic, but then the kirtan was already going on ecstatically, and then Srila Prabhupada came in and he took over leading the kirtan, and then you can hear the devotees in the recording, they all become crying out, and the devotees who are present there, they all stated that they felt how by Srila Prabhupada's mercy the whole spiritual world had descended. Everyone was just transported to the stage of spiritual ecstasy. They all became soaked in the waves of Srila Prabhupada's spiritual ecstasy. Although in his classes that he was giving, they were very, you could say, basic philosophy, but then the kirtans were simply extraordinary. Interesting, those kirtans were Hare Krishna, Maha Mantra, hardly anything else, in a very simple and basic tune. But the, well, to be precise, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, this tune. So, but it wasn't the tune, it wasn't the oscillation of the voice, it was Srila Prabhupada's ecstasy in chanting, everyone felt that. So, in various ways, Srila Prabhupada shared the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. But he was very careful, and in this way taught us also, not to advertise that, not to advertise, saying that, well, I'd just like you all to know that I'm a Paramahamsa. He didn't. Of course, Srila Prabhupada had to instruct us to chant, for instance, Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa in relation to himself, because we didn't know anything. There was no tradition in place at that time in the Western world, so Srila Prabhupada had to bring it, including worship of the Guru. They didn't know how to do it, they had no idea whatsoever. Just like when I came here, you so kindly washed my feet and then put garlands, but in the Western country they have no idea of such. Now there's some idea, but still there's some reluctance to do that. In India, at least among the most or many pious Hindus, there's no reluctance to do that. They like that. But in the Western countries, they feel this is something, that's too much. Why is just another human being? Why are they so... What is the word? Obsequious. showing themselves to be subordinate. So anyway, we should be careful. Example is given in Shastra. Pray careful not to show our love. That love, something should be there. There must be some love of Krishna. Even in a very beginning stage, there must be, we're talking about Krishna consciousness, it's not simply a psychological manipulation. It's some love of Krishna must be there. But love is a very private matter, as Vishnu Chagavar Thakur states in his Prema Samput. Samput means a treasure chest. So there's little work, little written work, in which he writes about this, the love between two lovers. Premadvaya rasikayor aidipa eva hridveshma bhasyati nischalam eva bhati dvaradayang vadanatas tu bahishkritas chin nirvati shigramatava lakutam upaiti. So, between two lovers, there may be a deepam, a flame burning brightly in each other's hearts. And it completely lights up their hearts. But if you, just like a light, if you bring it outside, then it's very likely that the wind will blow it out. So in the same way, if you bring out, you say, yes, actually, I love Krishna. And I have to go for the rasa dance, can't stop and talk to you now. I have to rush off, have an appointment with Krishna in the forest. Then the bringing it out, it's like taking it out, like taking a lamp outside. The wind of pride will blow it away. So keep it. Yatha dipa nivatas taha. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, gives the example of a lamp in a windless place. It blows brightly and clearly. Don't subject it to, don't put it in a dangerous place. Then a quote from, of all things, the Hatha Yoga Pradipika. We don't expect to find much about prema discussing in Hatha Yoga, but we can take a we can take and adjust it to our needs. Gopaniyang prayatnena yataratna karandakam kasya chinnaiva vaktavyam kulastri suratam yata. So whatever achievements or realizations you may have, keep them very carefully, just like you keep some jewels very carefully in a box. You don't just show them here and there. Just like a kula stri, an aristocratic woman, obviously she's having sexual relationships with her husband, but she doesn't talk about it openly. Like nowadays, probably in India also, but that's been in the West for quite some time. They call someone, they may go up to someone on the street and say, well, did you have sex last night and how was it? And just absolutely uncultured. So, of course, it's understood. A respectable woman, she has children, and it means, everyone knows what it means, but it's not something to be discussed. That's between the lovers, husband and wife, or whatever. So these subject matters of Krishna's intimate pastimes and whatever little drop he may give us of insight into, even may not be those intimate pastimes, just the very fact that I'm jagai madai hoite mui shela gishta purisha kita hoite mui. Jagai madai hoite muise papishta. Purisha kito hoite muise logishta. Mor jay nam loi tara punna khoi. Mor jay nam loi tara papa hoi. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who's clearly the topmost, on the topmost level of devotional service by his compositions, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Govinda Lilamrita, Krishna Karnamrita, commentary. He's clearly on the highest standard, but he says that I am more sinful than Jagai and Madhai were, then became great devotees. And then I am lower than a worm in stool. Whoever hears my name, they lose their pious activities, and whoever says my name by the very act becomes sinful. So this is actually the position that at least I can say I'm coming from. If I have anything to say, I'm more than all of you. It's my background is definite. It's nothing to boast about. It's more sinful than all of you, just axiomatically coming from the Western world. And even nowadays, it's difficult for Indians to be as sinful as Westerners, even if they're trying as hard as they can, but it doesn't come to them very naturally. So, anyway, by the grace of Krishna, some insights, realization, the very realization in itself that I'm so fallen and Krishna is so kind, he's given me a chance to associate with his devotees and to serve them. Realize there's some realization somewhere. So this kind of realization is very apt to share with devotees that I'm so grateful to Krishna, to Srila Prabhupada, to all the devotees, our gurus who have helped us to come to devotional service. Even though I'm so fallen, so these are very suitable realizations to share with others. But self-praise is not good. To state that, for instance, to state that I had such a good job and I gave it up, and you see, as if to promote oneself. Or even if there is some realization to go around and boast about it, then it means it's mundane, actually. Or to promote oneself. Even Srila Prabhupada, he appeared in a very aristocratic family. I believe he said that once. When he was on the Vyasa Puja, appearance day of Bhaktisthan Sahasrara Thakur. So he's Srila Prabhupada's, there's one famous lecture in which Srila Prabhupada spoke about his own, how he came to the lotus feet of Srila Bhaktisthan Sahasrara Thakur, and how on Sahasrara Thakur's order he brought Krishna consciousness to the Western world. And just Srila Prabhupada mentioned in passing that he is from the family, very aristocratic family of God. Just like that. It wasn't that he went on, he introduced himself, my name is Bhaktivedanta Swami, I'm from a very aristocratic family. He made a visiting card saying Bhaktivedanta Swami in parentheses, from an aristocratic family. No such thing. In fact, in his passport, where it's the Indian passport, I don't know if it's still like that up to the present day, it probably is. The person has to write their name and father's name also. That's especially necessary. That would be especially necessary here in Tamil Nadu, where you have so many Shanmugans and Srinivasans. So if you have your father's name, it's easier to identify. So in his father's name he put Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami. You can still see his passport that's preserved there in Vrindavan by spiritual energy, by Daivi Shakti Mataji, actually, that's her name. So she's taken up very seriously, not only her, but she's prominent in looking after these things. So devotees, they associate with each other, They make friendship with each other on the basis of Krishna consciousness, not on some mundane basis. And they discuss about Krishna, they become enlightened about Krishna. We may cultivate sharing feelings of Krishna. We can also distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. That's the best way to share Srila Prabhupada's realizations, which are going to be definitely more authoritative and to the point not necessarily. I mean, it's not that we are barred from being Krishna conscious. Srila Prabhupada has given us full access to that, but at least when we distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, we know that this is exactly to the point. This is pure Krishna consciousness. So we can share Srila Prabhupada's ecstasies with others by distributing his books and also by speaking about Krishna in the parampara method that he introduced us to. Just yesterday I got an email from someone who wrote saying that, well, you don't know, but I offended you some years ago on Radhashtami. Other Prabhupada disciples were speaking about Radha in a very intimate way, and you, that means referring to myself, spoke in a more conservative way, and at that time I made some comment, not very good comment, to a friend of mine, and I just want you to forgive me. So, yeah, I may be more conservative but in such matters, but we should be careful. Follow the example of Srila Prabhupada, who was very cautious in such matters. So we should share Krishna consciousness with others. What we have heard, we should share with others. Dakshina jnana sandeshaha. That is stated here in the 11th canto, that we should offer to the Guru the dakshina, the offering of sharing what we have received from him with others, especially with other devotees. So that is there, but at the same time some caution should be there, and especially we shouldn't try to advertise ourselves in any way. That is a material disease, even if in the name of devotional service this maya is so insidious that even in the name of devotion we can get into self-promotion. Devotion means bodhayanta, matchitta madgata prana bodhayanta. So matchitta, thinking about me, madgata prana means their life air has gone to me, and then and it's understood, the bodhayanta means also about me, although the word mat is not put there. So enlightening one another about me. Let us put Krishna in the center and not ourselves, because Krishna is in the center, and it is only sanity to recognize that Krishna is the center of everything. In philosophy, there's this Western philosophy, there's this statement about trying to ascertain the strength of a philosophy. Does the center hold? Is it on a strong philosophical basis? So that's none of the centers of the mental constructions of various philosophers. They don't hold. Their philosophic basis is not strong because it's man-made. It's made man-made, mana-made, made from the mind. Manasijam, that statement is there. This material desires, Prahlad Maharaj says, manasijam, born from the mind. But Krishna actually is the center. Mai sarvamidam prothom sutre manigana eva. Another example, everything rests on Krishna, like the pearls are strung on a thread. You see the pearls, you don't see the thread. So you may think, well, there's no thread, but there's definitely a thread. So we see this world, we don't see Krishna, but there's definitely something holding it all together. That is Krishna. Hare Krishna. So if there are any questions about this. Yeah.
Is it right etiquette to share devotional achievements or realization with one's guru, considering that this will please guru?
Is it right to share one's devotional realizations or achievements with one's guru, considering that this will please the guru? Interestingly, I just spoke, how many days ago? I'm moving around, 3 days ago, 2 days ago, with Tejas Prabhu, a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, who was actually very instrumental to establishing ISKCON within India. And he told me that he wouldn't, even many of the things he did, he wouldn't tell Srila Prabhupada. And he told me that now he's thinking maybe he should have done, because it would have pleased Srila Prabhupada. But he thought he didn't want to advertise himself. So, it depends a lot on the attitude of the person. Earlier this year, or late last year, one devotee came to me and spoke to me, came to see me, didn't come to listen to me, but just to tell me non-stop for 15 or 20 minutes, we're doing this preaching, we're doing that preaching, by your mercy, we started this, we did this, by your mercy. It just sounded to me like blowing their own trumpet. In other words, self-pray, we're doing this, we're doing that. It may be that devotees work very hard, but their aim is so that others will notice. Then others will notice, but Krishna won't be pleased, and it won't actually be spiritual, because the motive is not to please Krishna so much as to be noticed for what one is doing. So as we're in a mission of spreading Krishna consciousness, then we should share what we're doing. But we have to be very careful that it doesn't come to the point of self-promotion. Realizations, if one has, one may present to the guru, is this appropriate? One may do so. Same time, the neophyte devotees, it's better that they're under the guidance of some more senior devotees. Otherwise, neophyte devotees, they have so many realizations, which is actually mostly their imagination. In many cases, we see this. Prematurely, they think they're very advanced. So that's maybe another reason why advanced devotees, especially in the modern age, they don't speak about their realizations, because then so many neophytes will imitate them.
This was the Bhagavad Gita, Manchitta, Matkata, Prana. Even that, although we use it generally for all classes of devotees, but it seems in ultimate cases.
It seems this verse actually refers to very advanced devotees. Madgata prana means their whole life is fully dedicated in my service. Their life energy has gone to me. It's no longer circulating within this material world. So actually it refers to. And then we get the, just before that is the, iti madva bhajante mam buddha bhava samambitaha. But then we also get tesham satata yuktam, always engaged, bhajatam priti purvakam, on the level of love, Yeah. What was that question last night? There was some question last night, what's the difference between devotional service before initiation and afterwards? Yeah, before initiation we can say it's a preparation. I've answered this. What is the value of devotional service before initiation? Yeah. No, it's supremely valuable. But to become fully authorized, then that has to be, initiation is required. I've discussed this in some detail in some other lecture. If that can be found, it could be looked up on the internet. We can say that's prepared. But again, we should understand what initiation means. Often I see devotees have a very neophyte attitude toward initiation. They think that it's like getting a card to be admitted in a club, something like this. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Dikka kale bhakta kare atma samarpan." At the time of initiation, one fully surrenders to Krishna. So that's the real meaning of initiation. Yeah, then? All right, we'll finish. Hare Krishna, all glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.